Continuing a discussion about gambling, particularly what constitutes the regulative principle of not gambling, as given by our beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I'd originally thought I might cover this in one talk, now we're on the third talk, and just shows how topics can be expanded and expanded. Actually, we want to talk about Krishna, but to get to Krishna, we have to go out of the material world. And we're held in this material world by the various allurements of Maya, the material energy. One of the prominent allurements in much of the world at the present time is sports. Spectator sports, individually playing sports, and even more so, spectator sports. Srila Prabhupada included this in gambling. In one letter Srila Prabhupada wrote, and I'll give some more quotes in this regard, "You should not take part in any gambling, including so-called sports, cinema, theater, or any such entertainment." Now, sports are not usually considered to be directly gambling, although a huge amount of gambling in the standard understanding of the term gambling is on sports. And some sports seem to be practically made. The main purpose is for the gambling. And I'm particularly thinking of horse racing and maybe even more so greyhound racing. Maybe these things, the PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, they want to stop all this kind of thing, but it's hard to stop when it's such a big money spinner. Money rules. They did stop fox hunting in England. That was one sport that was going on for centuries. It was considered part of the British way of life, but it's been stopped by that organization. Sport is generally not considered gambling in and of itself, because sport implies some skill. In every human activity, there are different factors, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita. One is a matter of skill or expertise in performing tasks. Luck is also a factor. Daivam, in the five factors of action Krishna mentions, daivam, which we may call luck, or the dispensation of God, or one's achieving one's karmic results. But some things are more luck than others. Roulette is largely lottery. There's no skill in lottery. You buy a ticket and you may win or you may not win. And there's no skill whatsoever. But in sports such as, there are very various. Often we think of sports as being very active things like football, but can also include things like snooker, which are not highly physically active, but it's a game of skill. And luck is also there. But when there's a lot of skill involved, we may not consider it gambling. Lottery is absolutely gambling. But in a game of skill, then, like football, it's a very active game. Whatever you mean by football, there's soccer and American football and Australian football and rugby football and so many things. But anyway, football, they're all very active games, but they also involve skill. So how is it gambling? Well, Srila Prabhupada also included cinema, theater, or any such entertainment under the broad rubric of gambling that he gave. And we'll come to that the point in this talk, that they all simply waste one's time, the valuable human form of life, by distracting one's attention away from the real goal of life, which is to smartavya satatang Vishnu, to always think of Vishnu, which has to be cultivated, krishnanushilanam, cultivating remembrance of and selfless service to Krishna. These things divert one's attention away from that. And in the Vedic civilization, there were sports also. We find that there were professional wrestlers. Kamsa kept professional wrestlers such as Chanura, Mushtika, Toshala. The names are given in Bhagavatam. They were summarily killed by Krishna and Balaram. And wrestling was one of the skills that, one of the many martial skills that were learned by Kshatriya boys. Bhima was expert in wrestling. And Jarasandha, expert in wrestling. And there may have been more amateurish kind of village competitions also in wrestling. And up to the present day, wrestling is a popular sport in India. So wrestling is, the point is there's some sports are there in Vedic culture also. Chess, a precursor to chess, we find in Bhagavatam, Rukmi and Balaram were playing chess. Actually, there was a precursor to chess called Chaturanga, which seems to be not played, maybe lost altogether. But the point is there were various sports. Chess is a mental sport, and others are more physical, but they all include some skill and intelligence, actually. Skill means some intelligence. A lot of the fascination of it is, yeah, like in gambling, the uncertainty, the use of skill. Yeah, you can have skill. A skilled artisan can make beautiful sculptures, for instance, if he's a sculptor. But this is it's skill in action. What to do at any particular moment in time. Just like playing soccer, you have the ball. What do you do with it? What do you try to do with it? Do you dribble? Do you pass? Do you shoot? Do you back pass? It requires focus and intelligence. So in that way, it's very entertaining, but it's Maya. All these things, crosswords, computer games. Oh, a major bane of the modern world. Even devotees, they can get caught in all night spending in playing war games with people they don't know all over the world, pretending on their screen to be in the 17th century or whatever, and get completely fascinated. Actually, one point I was speaking about recently about Israel and Palestine and the fighting going on there and how this karmic reaction is at the root of all these conflicts. One thing to consider is that we have children growing up pretending by playing computer games to kill and becoming very expert in simulated killing, and that becomes their pleasure, their sport. And what's surprising if they think nothing when they get older of taking a job in the army or whatever and remote controlling drones to kill people in other countries. And what do you see on the computer screen? You just see a blob. To you, it's just a blob. To someone else, it was their mother or father or daughter or whatever. Just a thought. All these things divert these computers, crossword, that's pretty innocent, isn't it? Crossword puzzles, Scrabble, build up your vocabulary, has some salutary purpose. Yeah, maybe, but there are ways to build. If you need to build your vocabulary, there are better ways to do it than playing games. At least Srila Prabhupada did not approve of that, which is a good reason for us not to approve it, because we accept that what Srila Prabhupada says is coming from the platform of transcendental knowledge and coming from the platform of deep desire to benefit us by telling us what we should do and what we should not do so we can attain Krishna. That is the role of a guru. Who was that time? Yeah, I heard this before, years ago, a devotee saying during the World Cup soccer in South America, practically the temples, all the countries closed down while people are watching it on TV, and the devotees also. Woo! That's Maya, isn't it? Where's the higher taste? Where's the Krishna consciousness? Do you see Krishna in the ball? Maybe, but less likely. And after all these soccer players, however brilliant they may be, or rugby players, or cricket players here in India, well, maybe not in India, the cricket, but them, I think they're all probably, most of them are meat eaters, but in the West or outside India, people, they get strength to play their games by eating beef. Not very nice. There may be some nowadays who are vegan or whatever, but it's a matter of shvavidvara hoshtra karai sangstuta purusha pashuhu nayat karna patopetas jatu nama gadagrajaha. People, men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise persons who do not praise Krishna. So that's what's going on with these sports. It's not conducive to Krishna consciousness. It seriously diverts our attention away from Krishna consciousness. What about playing sports for keeping healthy? Madhvacharya, our most worshipable acharya, he is Bhim. Bhim has come again. Bhim was, I just mentioned, as a wrestler, famously strong of body. And Madhvacharya also, very strong of body. And Madhva made a point that without a strong body, you can't have a strong mind. It's important in the Madhva Sampradaya to keep the body fit. One time I went to Purna Pragya Vidya Pitam in Bangalore, and it just came at a time when it was recess for all the boys. They're all in dhotis and everything, and they're all out there on the lawn playing cricket. It's exercise, I guess. Practically, you see that some people without strong bodies have strong minds. Famous example in recent times of Stephen Hawking. And sometimes people with strong bodies have weak minds. But often the two things go together. The yoga tradition in India, which is nowadays more or less totally dominated, if there's any spiritual facade on the yoga practice that goes on all over the world, it's mostly something impersonalistic, but the yoga tradition was maintained for centuries in certain branches of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which, if you think about it, does make some sense, because Brahmanas do a lot of sitting. It's for their occupation. Well, depending what kind of Brahmana you are, But a lot of sitting, or if you're an archaka in a temple, there's a lot of just standing in one place and not moving around much. So they did that for health, and even we find in Haribhakti Vilas, it's stated about doing pranayama just before the Bhuta Shuddhi. One can do pranayama. So keeping the body healthy is one thing, which is also required for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wasn't a great proponent of doing a lot of exercise. He himself, on doctor's advice, after coming to America at some point, started taking a brisk morning walk every morning. He did say that swimming and wrestling are Vaishnava sports. And he even encouraged devotees when Srila Prabhupada stayed for about a week in Vishakhapatnam with several of his Western disciples. He was staying at one of the two ashrams of his dear godbrother, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Goswami. And that one of them, the more recent one, is just on the beach. You just cross over the road and you're on the beach. And Srila Prabhupada, he encouraged his disciples to go swimming every day. They didn't have much engagement in that time, in outside preaching at that time. He encouraged them, and even one of the devotees asked, well, why? Isn't that Maya? Srila Prabhupada said, no, you can also think of Krishna. Krishna is the... And he said, Lord Chaitanya used to go swimming. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita a description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates frolicking in the water of the Indrajumna Sarovar in Puri. And as a child, of course, young Nimai would frolic in the waters of the Ganga, not just take bath, but play around there for quite some time. So, no harm for health, no harm for devotees to have a little fun sometimes also. Yuktahara viharasya, we find in Bhagavad Gita, that just like our eating and our activities and our sleep should be regulated, I mean, not too much, not too little, but also some recreation, so devotees can go for... Well, when Srila Prabhupada was asked once about that, he said, our recreation is chanting Hare Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, that's good. Devotees, especially those with sedentary occupations or with a sedentary lifestyle or have certain physical problems which have come about for various reasons, may feel the need to engage in some other exercise also, just to keep the body fit for serving Krishna. But sports, no, organized sports. Oh, there's another point. Srila Prabhupada said the boys in Gurukul could play ball, get the ball, because Srila Prabhupada in school, he said he'd also been, they had a football team. But Srila Prabhupada played in goal because he didn't want to run around so much, he said. So maybe for kids they can run around after a ball, but it's not meant for serious practitioners of spiritual life. Is it sinful? Well, it's not. It's just like drinking tea. Is it sinful? Yeah, but it's nothing on the level of drinking wine. Is playing sports sinful in as much as forgetting Krishna? Engaging in activities which lead us to forget Krishna? Yes, and it's also against the order of the spiritual master. But it's not on the level of being a butcher. In fact, one tennis professional, he had been a professional tennis player and then he was a tennis coach. And Srila Peter Burwash, he took to Krishna consciousness. I don't think he ever got initiated by Srila Prabhupada. He never revealed as such if he did. But Srila Prabhupada, you could see, he personally liked him, and Peter Burwash was very respectful with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada coached Peter Burwash in how to organize a business. And Peter Burwash's business is tennis coaching, and he has a franchise in various parts of the world, tennis coaching. In another part, in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada makes the maybe shocking statement that people have devised sports like tennis so they can look at the bodies of women. You may think, well, why do they need to play tennis to look at the bodies of women? Well, these sports became popularized in Victorian times, when the word Victorian is synonymous with a prudish, puritanical kind of culture, which was prevalent among the new middle classes in Britain at the time. So that may be. Although again, you see, if you see the description of Devahuti in her childhood in the Bhagavatam, she'd also play with ball on the roof of her palace. Yeah, well, no one could, that's the point, she couldn't be seen otherwise. So what is this Srila Prabhupada encouraging Peter Burwash to go on with his tennis coaching? There's a difference there, that for Peter Burwash, he was already accomplished in his profession. He was doing well in it. And he was imparting to some extent what he could do in those circumstances, some level of Krishna consciousness. So it may be okay for competent sportsmen to continue doing that, but not as a, not that we don't want to see like the Mayapur versus Vrindavan cricket match, for instance. ISKCON Mayapur versus ISKCON Vrindavan. It shouldn't come to any such thing. And actually, most of these sports, they're not very healthy, actually, and they're just like cricket. Both bowling and batting, they imbalancedly exercise one side of the body, which can give serious problems as you get older. Contact sports like soccer and rugby football, they're very dangerous. You can get broken legs, concussion, all kinds of injury. I know from my childhood, my shins were always blue from the kicks, when they're mostly not deliberate kicks, but from playing soccer. They're just part of being a kid growing up in England at the time, and it's probably still the same today. It is different from saying being a butcher. Just like if someone was a butcher and they came to Krishna consciousness, oh, you go on killing animals for Krishna. No. Hunting, rigari, we find the description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, taken from Skanda Purana. When he became Krishna conscious, he had to stop hunting. Hunting can be taken as a kind of sport, which Krishna used to do with Arjuna. It said also Krishna, Abhimanyu was born of Subhadra, and the Pandavas were in exile, so Abhimanyu grew up in Dwaraka with Krishna, and Krishna took Abhimanyu as his own child and trained him in fighting, and also they used to go hunting together. That's mentioned in Mahabharata. Krishna took Abhimanyu out and taught him the skills of hunting. So that's allowed for kshatriyas. They have to hunt for two reasons in the forest. One reason is to cull the population of dangerous animals, which are mostly don't exist in India anymore. And the forests don't exist either, but there used to be so many dangerous animals, rhinos and elephants and tigers and leopards. There's still quite a few leopards around. Lions and wild boar and on, snakes and this and that. But they also hunt deer, which they take for, that's suitable for sacrifice, porcupines. So the hunting, that served one purpose, to protect the rishis also who were meditating in the forest, and all, yeah, providing meat for sacrifice, Yagya Shishta, Yagya Shishta Shino Santa, the Santas, they eat food which is sanctified by sacrifice, and also to prepare Kshatriyas for killing humans, because that was their unfortunate task, to have to be prepared to kill humans. And if you have no experience of killing, if you're not inured to that, then you just can't, it's very difficult to just suddenly start killing humans. But if you have experience of seeing animals scream in pain, the Peter people aren't going to like this. The experience of that. Of course, the Kshatriyas, they try to kill in a manner that will, the animals in a manner that will quickly kill them. But it is a sport for Kshatriyas also, hunting. So also for Kshatriyas, under certain circumstances, they can gamble, they can take intoxication, and not exactly illicit sex, but they can have sexual activity with a woman who is just unknown to them under certain circumstances, unknown up to the previous time. But it's all regulated by dharma. It's a complex culture. But at least for Srila Prabhupada's followers, and Srila Prabhupada, he was interested in making a new class of brahmanas, especially for his followers, that sports are forbidden. And then we say, well, they're not going to be any Kshatriya followers. Yeah, there may be. And then we have to see. Then we have to see how to understand this instruction. No sports. Well, if they're going to be actual Kshatriyas, well, it's another whole question in itself. What is a Kshatriya in the modern age when military might seems to depend more on technological development and expertise in deploying that and developing more and more weapons than actual courage and manliness? So where's the scope for Kshatriyas in this situation? These are things, the kind of questions which the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement who are looking forward to the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, they will have to think about this and come up with answers. Now, as far as wasting time is concerned, at an initiation lecture in 1968, talking about Srila Prabhupada was giving the four regulated principles, and he said, no gambling or unnecessary sporting. People are wasting time. So many sportings they have invented. Sporting balls, this ball, that ball. Human life is very short. We do not know when we shall die. Before that, we must prepare ourselves for the next life. Next life means directly going back to Krishna, the highest perfection. So this, we see Srila Prabhupada equated gambling with unnecessary sporting. Now, whether Srila Prabhupada meant that all sporting is unnecessary, or that some is necessary, or some is allowable, and some is unnecessary, it's not clear exactly from that. But in general, we can see Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned sporting along with gambling, and here it's a waste of time. And it does divert our mind also, like mental speculation. Time is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness. This time, after many, many births, we have the opportunity to do so. Labdva sudurlabhamidang bahusambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetanapatedanumritayava nishrayasya Vishayakalu Sarvata Syat. This most important instruction of Lord Krishna's, that human life is very rarely attained. It's attained after many, many births. Now we have it. And it won't last long. We should know that the human life is very valuable because it gives us the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, knowing that we are going to die soon, we should utilize our time in such a way that we don't get born again. And if we think, well, let me play ball a little bit, and then we should think, well, the opportunity for sense gratification is there in every species of life, but only in the human form of life is Krishna consciousness available. Ayusha kshana eko pina labhya swarna koti bihi. Even with millions of gold coins, we cannot buy back a moment that has gone. There's no time to squander. In a statement, this is a statement Srila Prabhupada wrote to the United States Selective Service System. In other words, what was going on? Srila Prabhupada wanted to have his disciples spared from the draft, which was in force for young men only at that time in the United States of America, with the Vietnam War raging on. So Srila Prabhupada wrote to the United States Selective Service System because Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish that his disciples are religious seminarians. They're being trained as religious functionaries, and that is one of the categories which are exempted from the draft. So Srila Prabhupada wrote to the United States Selective Service System, "My initiated students are strictly forbidden to indulge in the following principles of degradation. Number one, all forms of intoxication, including coffee, tea, cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, etc. Number two, the eating of animal food such as meat, fish, and eggs. Rather, their diet consists of prasadam, especially offered foodstuffs, vegetarian. Number three, unmarried sex indulgence. Number four, gambling or idle sports of any sort. Their lives are dedicated to serving God, and as such, they have no time to squander on unbeneficial activities or non-godly activities." So Srila Prabhupada equated idle sports of any sort with other non-godly activities, such as taking coffee and tea, and cigarettes and drugs and alcohol and so on. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Pope Paul VI in 1968 and to the Archbishop of Canterbury in 1969. In both letters appeared the following two sentences: "We are creating men of character, and we are training our disciples to become lovers of God or Krishna. From the very beginning, they are trained to refrain from the following four principles of degradation: 1, sex life outside marriage; 2, intoxication; 3, meat eating; and 4, gambling and idle sports." Now, what does Srila Prabhupada mean by idle sports? I mean, you might think sitting at a computer game, that's an idle sport. And playing cards or chess, it's an idle sport. Well, idle, we generally get the idea of not doing much. Although it seems to be oxymoronic when paired or juxtaposed with the term sport, because sport means some activity. Well, idle doesn't just mean not doing anything, but here are some dictionary meanings of the word idle, apart from, one of them is to pass time doing nothing, to be idle. You put your car on idle, that means the engine's on, but the gears aren't probably not in place and it's not moving. So it means idle, other meanings, of no real worth, importance, or purpose, frivolous, vain, meaningless, senseless, to move or loiter aimlessly. So these are synonyms for idle in terms of idle spots, of no real worth, importance, or purpose. Oh, here's another one, having no basis or reason, not certainly not from the perspective of the absolute truth, frivolous, meaningless, senseless. And what is, you know, you throw a ball, someone hits it with a piece of wood, and then you run. And, well, it is meaningful because there are millions of rupees being bet on it. But it's a meaning which has been built up on meaninglessness. It becomes very important in human society, but if you go to the base, it's zero. So it's like multiplying everything by zero. It's all actually meaningless, but we've ascribed meaning to it, but it has no actual meaning. Devotees are not supposed to idle their time away. We have to use our life in the service of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 17, a Krishna-conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. The sports, they waste our time, they divert our attention, and their effect is serious enough that Srila Prabhupada equated it with gambling. Also, cinema and theater. I mentioned that. Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that. Because, similar kind of thing. It's entertainments. Cinema, theater, or any such entertainment. It's entertainment for the mind. It doesn't uplift the soul. Theater, Krishna conscious theater, Krishna conscious drama, very good. Srila Prabhupada encouraged that very much. But mundane cinema, all these things, it wastes human form of life and diverts our attention from its real purpose. So that's a perspective on sports as gambling. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya churnakam padaya nipatya kritvacha kaku shatameta daham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kurutanu raga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.